All of my life I spent searching the words of poets and saints and prophets and kings. And now at the end, all I know that I've learned is that all that I know is I don't know a thing. So easy to close off, place the blame outside. Hiding in my room at night, so terrified. All the things I could have been, but I never had the nerve. Life and love I don't deserve. So all right, I've had my time. Close my eyes, let the death bells chime. Bury me in burgundy, I just don't care. Nothing's left, I've looked everywhere. Is this how I die?
Welcome to Today on Broadway for Thursday, May 18th, 2017. I'm Broadway World's Matt Tamanini.
And I am Broadway Star's James Marino.
James, it's Thursday. I think we are starting to get to the point now where there's big news every day. Comes out around 5:30. Everything looks crazy. I don't know what is going on. There's a big story that breaks that kind of shakes the whole landscape. And I'm not even talking about politics, because every day in theater, something new happens. I don't know which is crazier, the Broadway season or everything in DC right now. But either way, big announcements all around.
Well, take me to the top of the Empire State Building and beat my chest.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I think maybe you should beat your own chest. I think that might be a little odd if you were on the top of the Empire State Building and I'm beating your chest, but whatever.
Well, you would just be my older brother then, right?
That's true. That's true. Although, never mind. I'm not even going to go to the top of the Empire State Building, Sleepless in Seattle references. We'll leave that alone. But anyway, you are mentioning that because, James, look around how lucky we are to be alive right now, because the musical that many thought was too big or too bizarre to come to Broadway has taken one giant step toward that goal. I'm not counting our baby gorillas before they're birthed, because yesterday King Kong the musical announced that the show, which has seemingly been in development in Australia for most of my life, will, or is at least planning on, moving to the Broadway Theater in the fall of 2018. Miss Saigon, the house's current resident, will end its limited run as scheduled on January 8th before it heads off on a national tour in September of next year. James, we've talked about this before, but there have been many, many talented people who have been a part of this show's developmental process, only to move on when they couldn't quite crack the code. People such as your friend Jason Robert Brown and Pulitzer Prize winner Marsha Norman. The show is now under the creative control of book writer Jack Thorne, who won an Olivier for Harry Potter and the Cursed Child and also wrote the critically acclaimed play Let the Right One In. The score is being written by Marius DeVries, who has worked in the music departments for films of La La Land, Moulin Rouge, and Romeo and Juliet. And Eddie Perfect is also writing the songs, whom we've discussed as a composer of the Broadway intended Beetlejuice musical as well. King Kong will be directed in. Got to say it three times. King Kong will be directed and choreographed by Drew McOney, an Olivier winner for London's In the Heights. James, there are so many different curious cul-de-sacs to discuss on this story, but I'm going to let you go. What jumps out at you most about this?
So when you saw the press release, did you see the graphic image of Kong that they used?
Yes, I'm actually, as I flip over to the articles, I see it now, yes.
I try to throw that in the show notes. It's very interesting how human-like Kong is in that image.
Well, James, I know a lot of people in administrative positions now like to deny it, but you know, we are relative to apes.
So, I don't know much about this show, other than the little bits and pieces that we've seen over the years about it. Is Kong an active character, or is he referred to in the show, or things like that, or?
I think he's on stage the whole time, or more or less the whole time, because the thing we've heard about this show is that this part animatronic, part puppet being at the center of this show is so impressive that a lot of these great creative people like Marsha Norman and Jason Robert Brown have just said, you want to do service to this thing that's at the center of this production, but it's a story about a giant ape. How do you do that?
I guess we're going to see. Is it the fall or the spring of 2018? The fall.
It is scheduled for the fall of 2018 in the Broadway Theater, which means that Miss Saigon, which we were a little suspect of whether or not it would actually close on January 8th as was originally announced, but it apparently will. So that means that they'll have, 9, 10 months, depending on what they determine fall to be, maybe even 11 months, to either A, put a limited run into the Broadway, or if there need to be some sort of renovations to accommodate this massive spectacle, they will be able to do that too. There's no indication as to what the Schubert's plans are for the Broadway in between Miss Saigon and King Kong, but I guess we will find out. The other thing that's kind of interesting about this is, at first, when they first announced it, we weren't sure if it was coming in the spring or the fall. This will be out, just a few months after Harry Potter starts on Broadway and Frozen starts on Broadway. Those are three not just well-known properties, but massive shows. I don't know how those impact each other, though. I mean, I think the conventional wisdom is that A, King Kong might not actually ever materialize, or B, if it does, it will not last. But I don't know if maybe people will do the thing where, man, I really wanted to get tickets to Frozen or Harry Potter. I couldn't get tickets. So maybe on this trip, hey, King Kong's should be interesting. Let me go see that. I don't know. It didn't necessarily work with Spider-Man, but that had its own issues with it. So it's just really hard to figure out how this will, resonate in the theater community, especially since it is still a year and a half away.
Does this track like a Hollywood studio tentpoles, where they all release all the tentpoles at the same time?
Maybe, yeah. I mean, it's interesting. These are just, I don't know. There's just something about this that seems weird to me. When you have to continually bring in new creatives, and I wanted to be positive. Damn you, James, for making me go negative on this story. I wanted to be positive.
There's no negative. No negative. We're just questioning. Questioning's not negative.
If you bring in all these super talented creatives and they can't find the story, and you are just pushing forward a huge, major, multi-million-dollar production because you have a really good puppet, it just makes me question it. Now, I'm not saying that Jack Thorne and Marius DeVries and Eddie Perfect can't find the story in there, but if this thing's been kicking around down under for so long, and I know people who have seen it, one of my colleagues at Broadway World who will remain nameless, when this news came out, they said, man, they better rewrite that whole thing because it was dreadful. So it just makes me feel like this is something that's being pushed for all the reasons we don't want to see things pushed. We talked yesterday. It made me think of when I was like getting kind of, worked up about this. I was like, yesterday we spent a couple minutes talking about Fun Home and Hamilton being these shows that think outside the box and how much we wanted to celebrate those. But for me, those stories worked because of the story, of the narrative. It feels like this out of the box property is being pushed for completely different reasons. And that concerns me for a lot of reasons. Obviously, it wouldn't be the first time that a Broadway show came to Broadway for all of the wrong reasons. But it just seems weird to me. The whole thing's weird.
So before we leave, I'm just going to say that Frozen, Harry Potter, and King Kong, boy, Riedel is going to be tired. All right, next up, The Great Comet releases a new block of tickets into 2018.
Great Comet or Great Comic?
Yes.
I wasn't sure. Anyway, I thought maybe Billy Crystal was coming back. Anyway, yesterday, Natasha Pierre and the Great Comet of 1812 released a fresh block of tickets to run through January 8th of 2018. That obviously begs the question, James, as to who will be playing Pierre and the other principals after this summer. Josh Groban is scheduled to exit the role of Pierre on July 2nd, and Okorede Anatawan is scheduled to take over through September 4th. You have to wonder, after he's been filling in for Groban when he's had other commitments, will creator Dave Malloy take over as Pierre full-time at that point? Will the other principals remain in the show that long? I don't know, but if you do, slide up into my DMs. Let me know what's going on. I like gossip when it comes to shows. Also yesterday, New York Magazine's entertainment site Vulture released a first listen to the original Broadway cast recording of Great Comet. I'm not sure if it's going to be available today as well, if it was just like one of those one day things, but I'll put a link in the show notes just in case it's up on Thursday as well. But Natasha Perry and the Great Comet of 1812's album will be digitally available tomorrow if you can't get it today.
Okay, next up, Glenn Close apologizes for Mother's Day absence. Anybody take their mother to go see Sunset Boulevard?
I could see that happening, sure. You know, if that's a theater family, maybe it's a show that you'd seen the first time around. I could see that. I mean, it's, you know, kind of, you know, talking about the mental decay of an older woman, but whatever, you know.
And a dead monkey.
Man, we got a lot of monkey talk on today's show, don't we?
Yeah, we do.
Anyway, as we discussed on Tuesday's show, James, Glenn Close's understudy Nancy Anderson went on as Norma Desmond on Sunday, and yesterday, Glenn Close released a statement apologizing for missing the performance. She wrote, quote, "I want to apologize to anyone who came to Sunset Boulevard on Mother's Day, only to find that I wasn't performing. The fact that it was such a special day and that I know there were many mothers in the audience with celebratory tickets made my absence even worse. I wasn't there because I totally lost my voice. I'd been fighting a cough and cold all week. When I woke up on Sunday, my voice just wasn't there. I went to the theater and sat at a keyboard with our wonderful conductor, Kristen Blodgett. It immediately became painfully evident that I was unable to perform. My fantastic understudy, Nancy Anderson, heard while she was waiting for the subway that she was going on. She did a magnificent job." Miss Close goes on to say that after 2 days of vocal rest and plenty of meds, she was able to talk sing her way through yesterday's matinee in hopes that her voice will return better throughout the week. And she pledges to fans that if she is able to be in the show, she will be in the show moving forward. James, I'm not going to say anything to prejudice your response, although in fairness, by me just saying I'm not going to say that might have prejudiced it anyway. But what do you think about statements like these when stars apologize for missing a performance and an understudy going on?
Well, I think that there certainly has to be somebody that went to the theater on Sunday just to see Glenn Close. And I think that this apology is the kind of thing that, you know, is a little bit of a condolence to somebody who bought a ticket to see Glenn Close. I don't see that there's any harm in it. You know, it's, and this is a really well-formed apology. It's not a presidential apology, not apology type of thing. You know, like I can tell anybody who I want anything about confidential and classified information.
Yeah.
I think it's great. Like I said, I think that there's probably somebody who went there just to see Glenn Close and didn't her.
Yes. Yeah, I'm part of me thinks that Glenn Close is a massive star. So I think she probably has to have said something. And like you said, it was very well formed. There's nothing wrong with this. And she praises Nancy Anderson and multiple times throughout the letter. It just, you know, we've talked about how much we are pro understudy on this show and pro standby and swing and all that stuff. And so part of me, I don't know. It just always feels weird. While I agree, this one's great, and I have no problem with Glenn doing it because she probably had to. I just always feel a little weird. It's like, hey, I'm really sorry you had to see this other super talented person in the role and not me. It just reads weird to me, even though I know you probably have to do it, especially when you're like a gigantic star like Glenn Close. But it just, I always feel a little awkward with these things.
Did you listen to Starley Kine's podcast that used to be on Gimlet? I can't remember the name of it. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I've listened to pretty much everything on Gimlet at least once or twice, but I'm not sure which one was Starley Kine's. Was it the Mystery Show?
Yeah, I think it was the Mystery Show. Let's see. Starley Kine podcast, Mystery Show. Yeah. So she had something on the Mystery Show last year when she was doing this podcast over Gimlet where she did this meet and greet. I think it was with Britney Spears or something.
Britney like Spears. I heard that one. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think of Glenn Close as being in the realm of Britney Spears stardom, you know, having, you know.
I'm surprised Britney Spears isn't Glenn Close's understudy instead of Nancy Anderson.
You know, Britney Spears and Glenn Close probably have the same Q factor, their level of how they measure stardom.
Yeah, type of thing.
And Starlee talked about how these fans, you know, could you imagine if the fans showed up for these meet and greets with Britney and Britney was like, I lost my voice, I'm not singing today? You know, and I think that... Yeah. I think what Glenn did was something that you have to do when you're a star the size of Glenn Close and the size of a Britney Spears. And and again, because it was so well-formed and so effusive to Nancy Anderson, who deserves every word that's in that thing, I don't have any problem with it. Don't let it happen again.
I don't have any problem with it. I have nothing wrong with Glenn doing it. It just, you know, I feel like between Cameron McIntosh not wanting the understudies in his shows to tweet out that they're going and then having to apologize for that, it just feels like, you know, we're kind of saying understudies are second class performers, which is obviously in every single case not the truth. But either way, I think you're right that Glenn Close and most stars on Broadway have to at least acknowledge it in one form or fashion.
Well, I bet you $250,000 that she's not out again.
If I had $250,000, I would ask you what kind of odds you were giving me. But yes, moving on, I guess. On Monday, Broadway Cares Equity Fights AIDS held its third annual Broadway Bets Poker Tournament fundraiser and raised a record $286,900. James, I mention this because we always like to discuss the philanthropic efforts of the theatrical community, but... also because it gives me an excuse to talk about something else that I'm incredibly passionate about, and that is the World Series of Poker, which begins later this month, and I cannot tell you how excited I am to watch the live streams for Mixed Triple Draw Low Ball, No Limit Deuce to Seven Low Ball Draw, Omaha High Low Eights or Better Mix, and all of the other games that I have no earthly idea how to play, but I am fascinated to watch. Anyway, I'm also glad that the WSOP got rid of the ridiculous November 9 format. And basically, all of this is to say that if anyone out there wants to cover my buy-in to next year's Broadway bets, I am willing to make the trip up to play. So, you know, hit me up.
We buried the lead there. Who won?
Oh, I didn't see that. Did it say who won?
Yeah, hold on a second.
Hold on, I've got...
15th of Manhattan, Schubert Organization, blah, 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 blah. Last year's event, 286,000. Could you imagine sitting down at the table with Bright Monster?
Oh, man. I think I would go crazy. Yeah, some of the people, you look for who won. I'll read who played. Some of the people who participated in the tournament is Hank Azaria, who often plays in World Series of Poker tournaments. Bright Monster, Alex Brightman, as James mentioned, Michael Cera, Brian Koppelman, Steve Martin, Michael Park, David Schwimmer, Lucas Steele, Dr. Ruth Westheimer, Tony Yazbek, cast members from Hello Dolly, Gavin Creel, Chris Cooper, Jane Howdy Shell, Laurie Metcalf, Condola Rashad, as well as professional poker players, Andy Frankenberg, Eric Seidel, who is just quite possibly the dorkiest person in the world, Vanessa Selbst, and Ingrid Weber. So some really, really, really great people in there. But, oh, okay, here it is. Go ahead. Do you want to tell them who were in the finals?
I found the press release. The Ultimate Face-Off featured acclaimed actor, comedian, and musician Steve Martin and Broadway fans Ken Ruck and Joan Siegel. Surrounded by a cheering crowd, the trio played through a series of hands until Martin lost in an all-in battle against Ruck. Then Ruck bested Siegel to become this year's Broadway Bets champion. As winner, Ruck received a round-trip flight and VIP accommodations in Tampa Bay to see the New York Giants play the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. That's not a really good Broadway Bets.
No, I was just like, really?
I was like, oh, he won all expense first class to next year's Tony Awards, right? No, they sent him to a football game. Come on. Giants?
In Tampa. I mean, look, I've been to the stadium. It's close. It's the closest football I've got, but it's Tampa. But I will say, James, the Cherokee Hard Rock Casino is fairly close to Raymond James Stadium. So maybe Ruck will be hitting up the tables there as well. Wow, we've spent so much time talking about poker. Oh, my Lord.
The final table also featured, in order of finish, Jack Eldon of Disney Theatricals, Jennifer Thomas of Disney Theatricals, James Murray of the Schubert Organization, Michael Barra of the Araka Group, Kim Husky from Serena Coyne, Sierra Duncan of the Road Company, and Stephen Lindsay of the Road Company. Those are all very inside baseball people, you know.
Yeah, they are. Then you throw in Steve Martin. You know?
Yeah, Steve Martin in the final table. My goodness.
Oh, Lord.
All right. Let's talk slightly more inside baseball. Get back to our good friend, Lindsey Jones.
Yes. Yesterday, the Collaborator Party, founded by your friend Lindsey Jones and John Gramado, announced that it will host its third annual Tony Night celebration for the theater sound community and their collaborators. James, we talked with Lindsey last year, and as he explained, there are collaborator parties all around the country, but this year's main party will be held on Tony Night, June 11th at Houston Hall. I assume that's Houston, not Houston, right?
Yeah.
Okay, it's on Houston Street, so I just wanted to make Houston sure. Anyway, it will take place from 7 p.m. to 11 p.m. James, I know you spoke with Lindsey a little bit yesterday, and he said that this year's party would have a slightly different tone than in years past because these kind of started to celebrate the work of the sound community in Broadway after the Tony Awards eliminated the sound design categories. Now that they will be reinstated for next year's Tony Awards, they kind of feel like they deserve to celebrate and pat themselves on the back for the work that they've done.
Yeah. As far as I know, even though the sound awards are coming back next year, this is not the end of the collaborator parties. I think it's just the beginning, and it's awesome. As anybody who's ever gone to the Tony Awards may know that, about $1,000 a ticket, it might be better to go to a collaborator party than the Radio City Music Hall.
I've heard that those parties are wild.
Out of control.
In all the good ways. Wild in a good way.
Absolutely. All right. Why don't you get us out of here?
All right, thanks for listening to Today on Broadway. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Broadway Radio, and you can find me on Twitter at BWWMatt, and subscribe to Something to Pop on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play, and sorry for all the poker talk.
My name is James Marino from BroadwayRadio.com and BroadwayStars.com. Thanks for spending some of your Thursday with us. We probably won't talk about poker until next year again, so that's okay, and we will talk to you tomorrow.